The Gospel of John highlights 7 specific miracles. And each of these miracles in the Gospel of John, they are recorded that we would ultimately believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And the Bible says this in John chapter 20 as it closes out this book. It says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written." Notice that expression there. "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The idea there of signs is that's mentioned in verse 30 of John 20 are miracles that have a meaning. They're miracles that ultimately are miraculous messages that Jesus is performing. And these 7 miracles all have a specific message that Jesus is teaching us, a specific truth that he's teaching us. Now, we believe in miracles. We believe that God can perform miracles. And we believe that God is a miracle-working God. And we find in this passage of Scripture, we're going to go to John chapter 4, and we find the second miracle that Jesus performed in his earthly ministry. And we're going to look at it together and draw some application for our lives, if we could. John chapter 4, notice what the Bible says here. We'll begin our reading in verse 46 together. Verse 46, John chapter 4, and verse 46. The Bible says, "So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle, verse 54, that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word and the opportunity that we have to be able to gather together and to study it together. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us practical truths for where we are in our life today. I pray, Lord, that you would bind Satan and his demons, that your word would fall on good ground, that it would grow in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorifying. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, give me the words to say. I pray that you would put in my mind what you'd have me to say and take from my mind that which you would have me not to say. But Lord, I pray that we would not only just be a hearer of your word this morning, but that we would also be a doer. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and in our lives so that we would bring glory to your name. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, John paints for us this amazing story of the second miracle of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is returning to Cana, the place where he turned water into wine. And the Bible says that a nobleman hears that Jesus is in Cana, and he comes to him. Now, I'm not sure how this nobleman heard about Jesus or heard about the miracle, but he heard about him, and he travels about 16 miles from his hometown to come to Cana to see Jesus. Now, this nobleman would have been a government official, and he was probably in a high position within the government. And there's no doubt that he knew that Jesus would be able to help him. And by faith, he traveled to Cana to begin to talk with the Lord. Now, as we break down this wonderful miracle, the second miracle that Jesus performs in his earthly ministry, I want us to notice a couple of incredible truths here. First of all, I want us to think about a frantic cause. A frantic cause. Now, the Bible says that this nobleman comes to Christ really in a desperate place in his life. There's a desperate condition that he's facing. Now, what is on his mind? What burden does this man have that he would travel 16 miles by foot to come and see Jesus? Well, look what the Bible says in verse 46. The Bible says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman, now notice this expression, whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, I don't know about you, but if my son is sick at Capernaum and to travel by foot 16 miles to come and see Jesus, and to leave your son who's at the very point of death, it meant that this man in great faith knew that Jesus could do something about his circumstance. He knew that Jesus could solve his problem. And so in this passage of Scripture, we notice that he had a desperate request. The man was desperate. He was hopeless. I mean, I'm sure that he had tried everything else and anyone else, and he couldn't find any answers. And so he had traveled down to Cana to see the Lord. Now, notice this desperate request. The Bible says in verse 47 that we see a dying child. The Bible says that his son was at the point of death. It says in verse 47. There was nothing that anyone could do. This man truly was in a desperate situation. He was in a hopeless place in his life. His boy was at the door of death, and I'm sure the father felt helpless. Put yourself in his position for just a moment. I mean, there was nothing that he could do. There was nothing that the doctors could do. And I mean, as a loving father, he wanted to do something. He wanted to act in some way. And so notice he comes to Jesus. And I'm wondering that as he's traveling to Cana, he's thinking in his mind, will Jesus even care? Will Jesus even listen? Will Jesus even give me the time to be able to state my case, to be able to tell him what's happening in my life? And I don't know if you've ever got to the place in your life where you think to yourself, does Jesus care about the events or the burdens that I bear? Does Jesus care, or are the events of my life just too small for Jesus to spend any time on? The hymn writer had the same thought. He says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. And then he says, oh, yes, he cares. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. My heart, his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. The Bible says, casting all of your cares, your worries, your burdens upon him, for he careth for you. And I've underlined in my Bible that word all. Cast all your cares, all of your worries, all your burdens on the Lord. We find in the scripture here a dying child, but also we notice a desperate circumstance. You know, one time we were driving, I was just a small boy, I don't know my age, but I was old enough to remember. And we were driving home. I grew up in a small fishing village in Nova Scotia, and anytime we went to go shopping at any distance, I mean, it was probably an hour or 2 hour drive, and the roads were hilly and windy, and we were driving, it was winter time. And in Nova Scotia, storms can just appear. I mean, they can quickly appear. And we were driving home one evening, and all of a sudden, I remember as a child, it was a blizzard, and we couldn't see. My dad was driving the car at the time, and We were trying to find the road. I don't know if you've ever been there where you don't even know where the road is, and you're just hoping for the best that you're on the road. And I'll never forget this. As we were driving, all of a sudden, my dad lost control of the car, and we started to do circles on this road. And I'll tell you this. Instantly, I turned into the greatest prayer warrior you've ever seen. Everyone in the car turned into a prayer warrior, that's for sure. And the reality is, these desperate situations that we have in our life, they have a way to draw us to God. They have a way to lead us to God, to lead us to prayer. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and they're taking him by ship to Rome to stand before Caesar. And the Bible says that in Acts chapter 27 that there's a great storm that takes place. And the Bible says in verse 20 of Acts 27 that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They had emptied the ship to lighten it, but it wasn't making any difference. And the Bible records for us that all of the sailors on that ship, they were hopeless. They didn't have any hope. They didn't have any answers. They were indeed in a desperate situation. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul stood up and he says, "Sirs, be of good cheer." And I love this. He says, "For I believe God. I have faith in God." You can be happy, friends, because God has spoken to me and God has said that he will help us. And the nobleman went to the right person. He went to the Lord Jesus. He was hopeless in this desperate circumstance. And he goes to the Lord for help. We see a dying child, a desperate circumstance, but also we notice a direct request. Look what the Bible says in verse 47. The Bible says, "And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he should come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him," now Jesus now is speaking to the nobleman, he says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And the nobleman said unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." A couple of things I see in this passage of scripture. I see, first of all, that this man purposed to see Jesus. In verse 47, he went unto the Lord. He left Capernaum. He left being with his son, a son who was at the point of death. He left all of those things, and he traveled down. He purposed in his heart that he was going to talk to Jesus. He was going to tell Jesus what was happening in his life. Hebrews chapter 11. Would you turn there with me? Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 6, you know, we need to have faith today to believe that God can help us where we are in our life. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The Bible says if you're going to come to God, then you must first believe that there is a God. This is an act of faith. And then by believing that there is a God, you must seek out the true God. And the Bible says if you seek God, he will reveal himself to you. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, the Christian life is a life lived pursuing the Lord Jesus. The Christian life is a purposed life. The reality is this man, he lived a purposed life. He had to talk to Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the answer for his desperate situation. But also notice this, he pleaded with the Savior. The Bible says he besought him. The word there, besought, means to beg. He's begging the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in verse 47, "And besought him that he would come down." He besought the Lord that the Lord would come and see his son. Now, this man, he believed that Jesus had to come and see his son. And this man believed that Jesus had to travel to Capernaum and physically be there with his son in order to heal him. He wanted his attendance. He says, please come down. We understand that Jesus didn't have to go to Capernaum. He could just speak the words. This is the miracle power of Jesus Christ, but also he wanted the Lord's attention, not only his attendance, but his attention. He says, please come down. He's begging him in verse 47, ere my son die, before it is too late, please come down. Please come down and see my son. You know, I'm glad today that God is always on time. God is never too late. He's always on time. And so we see in this passage of Scripture a frantic cause, but can we notice also a faith conveyed? The Bible says in verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. In verse 49, the Bible says, the nobleman saith unto him, the nobleman speaking to Jesus, sir, come down, ere my child die. I want us to notice, if we could, in this scripture, this expression. Jesus said here, except ye see signs and wonders. Now in verse 48, the response that Jesus is giving here is not just a response to the nobleman. The word here, ye, is in plural form, and Jesus here is not just speaking to the nobleman, he's speaking to everyone who was doubting that he was the Messiah. He was speaking to the multitude of people, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, as we have the Word of God in our hands today, he's also speaking to us that are here today. And the message here is simple. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Ye will not have faith to believe. The Bible says that we must have confidence in his word. Look what the Bible says in verse 50 here. And Jesus saith unto him, come thy way. Now notice here, this is an incredible thought, because this man didn't see his son being healed. Jesus just spoke the words. Now notice what the Bible says, and Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now this is important. Look what the Bible says. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. He believed the word. He didn't know his son was healed, but he believed by faith that his son was healed. He believed the words that Jesus spoke. You know, there are many today that seek for proof, physical proof, that they can see with their eyes that there is a God. They look for physical proof, and they analyze God's word, and they intellectually dissect it. And for many people, the Bible is just another textbook that they put on their shelf, and that's how they look at the Bible. But there comes a time in our life where we simply have to believe what the Bible says. We have to believe the word of God by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22 gives us some insight here. The Bible says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. In this passage of Scripture, we're given really two types of people that respond to the gospel of Christ. There's, first of all, the requirement of a sign. When we look at the ministry of Christ, many times there were people who were following him because either they wanted to be fed or they wanted to see another miracle. They believed in what they saw, but they didn't believe in what they didn't see. And they had faith in miracles, but they didn't have faith in the person of Jesus Christ. They had to see to believe. And we live in a world today that they have to see to believe. Everything has to be figured out. Everything has to be on ink and paper in order for them to believe. And yet the Bible says that the justified, in Romans 1 verse 17, the just shall live by faith. We are on the faith way. We are on the faith pathway. And our response to Jesus must be a response of faith. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, would you turn there with me? Luke chapter 16. And this is an interesting passage of scripture. Of course, Jesus here is speaking of the rich man who had rejected the Lord, and he ends up in hell. And in Luke chapter 16, there's this expression that I think is so powerful when we think about seeking after signs or not believing unless we see. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 in verse 28, notice the response here of the rich man. He says, "For I have five brethren," verse 28, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now, the rich man wanted someone to be resurrected from the dead. He wanted a sign so that his brothers would know that hell is real, that God is real. And notice what the Bible says in verse 29, "And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And notice the response here of the word of God. "And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You see, signs just lead to more signs, but faith leads to more faith. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that they had to believe the word. They had to believe the word. Now, there were those who are persuaded by signs and require signs, but also there are those who reach for wisdom. There are those who have to have wisdom, and they read the Bible as a textbook, and it's information, but it never reaches their heart. And it's a dangerous thing to miss heaven by the distance of your head to your heart. Seeking after wisdom is good, and there's a place for wisdom, but it doesn't replace faith. It never replaces faith. And I love what the Bible says of the nobleman. He believed God. He believed God. I want us to think about this, if we could, as we consider the nobleman, confidence in his word, but also continuance in his way. The Bible says that the faith of this man was proved. The Bible says that he continued on his way. He went on his way. You know, faith is leaving your difficult circumstance with Jesus. Faith is leaving that desperate condition with the Lord. And he left his situation with the Lord. He believed the Lord. The Bible says he believed his word and he went on his way. He had confidence in what Jesus had to say. I see a faith conveyed. But thirdly, can we notice this? A family changed. Look what the Bible says in verse 50 now. The Bible says, "Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word which Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I want us to notice verse 53. Can we notice the reassurance in this man's heart? The Bible says the father knew. You know, listen, the Bible gives us incredible truths for our life, and gives us direction for our life. And the Bible teaches us how we can know for sure that we're going to heaven. We don't have to hope so or guess. We can know that heaven is our eternal home. We can have that assurance in our life. And the Bible says that this man had that reassurance in his life. The father knew, but also verse 53, we notice the not only reassurance in his heart, but we notice a revival in his home. And the Bible says the whole house believed. God had healed his son. You say, well, what did they believe? They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And now they were believers. They were believers. But fourthly, I want us to notice this, a faithful call. A faithful call. You know, Jesus here, this is the seventh or one of the seven miracles in the Gospel of John. And it's a miraculous miracle. It's a miracle with a purpose. And that is to show that Jesus is the Son of God. And so what is the message in this miracle? What can we learn from it? Well, I think fundamentally we can learn that we are all spiritually in a desperate condition. The Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. The reality is spiritually we are all at the point of death. We are already condemned, the Bible says. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so we all have a desperate condition, but also we're to believe the word of God. What does the Bible say about our desperate condition? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God commended, he showed us his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest miracle that God could ever perform is to change your heart today from a sinner to a saint, to a child of God. The power of God can change our life, and it won't only influence your life, but it can influence the life of your whole family. But also, Christian, I think a message for us is simple, and that is trust in God today. Bring your cares and your burdens to the Lord. Lay them at the feet of Jesus and have faith that God will always do what is best for you because he cares about you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have.